that's one of my bigger fears, is that we just we penalize certain areas so much that they just fall further behind. And then you will see that flight of talent and capital. And I don't think which should lead.
That was Catherine Coley, and we talk about financial inclusion, regulations in the United States, and how Binance US is overcoming those hurdles on today's Stash My Crypto. Let's go! Hey there, crypto friends. Thanks again for joining me here for another episode of the Stash My Crypto podcast. Today, my guest is Catherine Coley from Binance US.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for joining me here today. I appreciate it.
Pretty pumped. It's I tried to grow out my crypto stash and it didn't work out. So I'm sorry to say, I was looking for a handlebar and I missed it.
I'm actually sad and also excited about that. Thank you.
Oh, no. There's enough mustache jokes here, but I'll skip you on those.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. But next time, if you have a mustache, you know, we'll definitely do like a comparison. I did that with actually Tim Draper. We compared his eyebrows to my mustache.
We kind of
decided they're pretty much equal when it comes to epicness. So.
They're epic. Yeah. Iconic facial hair. I guess that's a new chapter in the world that we could live in. Right. But I mustache you that we continue.
All right, let's do this. So, just to kind of get started here, is a question I ask everybody when we get started, is I want to know how you found out about Bitcoin for the first time. What was it that triggered it? Was it some person? Was it random? I want to hear that story real quick.
Cool. So my situation where I was in was, we were looking at all the currencies of the world. I was on a trading floor and I was trading for the most part all the restricted onshore Asian currencies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with long short equity hedge funds. So some of your US major hedge funds would buy local equities and they would need to change the FX rate to buy those equities. Right. So that's where I was in that cycle. So I talked to a lot of these equity hedge fund guys based in New York and Connecticut, but I was in Hong Kong at the time. And so we would talk about all sorts of things because their day was pretty low until they had to, you know, buy a bunch of Indian equities and then come talk to me. And it was during the night. And so they were, you know, deep, deep, deep in the Reddit piles and kind of critters of the night, as what I called them, because they would have great intel that your day traders or daytime trading team wouldn't necessarily have.
Critters
that color.
Of the night. Okay.
Critters of the night. So it was the critters of the night that got me into Bitcoin. And they were like, hey, there's this thing called Bitcoin. We bought a bunch of them for, fantasy football. You should join in. I was in their fantasy football leagues. We did the master cleanse together. We would do all these kind of like off the normal beaten path things together because they were trading in the middle of the night by themselves. And I was over in Hong Kong covering them for 12 to 24 hours a day. So those were the guys that got me into it. And we kind of just looked at it from afar. It went up to $1,000. It's like 2013-ish. Mm-hmm. And they were like, whoa. And then a bunch of them got goxed. And so they were like, all right, this was painful. And the process for them to acquire it was super painful too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like where they normally call up and the prime brokerage desk has, everything waiting ready for them on a silver platter. And so it was a really ugly experience for some of the largest money managers to go through, and it turned them off a lot.
Yeah.
And when I was looking into Bitcoin, there were a lot of factors of it that turned me off from it initially. I was really upset that it was so clunky.
Yeah,
it was funky. It was super slow, and when you're moving money, if you're like, I can go from 60 miles per hour to 65 miles per hour, that's not that much faster. I'm like, send me a rocket if I'm looking for something to go faster, or else the inertia to change is not that strong.
Right.
So it was really slow. It was still expensive. It was like $20 a transaction or so. The connecting of, can this replace what I normally do, which was FX, take place? And at first I said no. And so I was like, I don't think this thing can really do what I want it to do. Mm-hmm. But then over time, there's so many factors that I was like, oh wait, but it can do this. And oh wait, it can do this. And oh wait, like sovereignty is awesome.
Yeah.
So You know, I love to classify myself as a born again Bitcoiner. I'm glad that this world hopefully accepts me, but, it takes certain people different times to get comfortable with it. And you really have to welcome everybody and provide that freedom of choice for people to see how it's going to fit into their lives.
Right.
And I think that patience and empathy and continuous education is super important as this space is so young.
Yeah, no, you make some good points there. I think everyone has their own road and journey, and a lot of times it does. It really takes something a little bit more personal to come across to them for them to come around. You know, oh, well, you know, does this replace the thing I'm already doing? Is it going to replace Epic? Well, no. I mean, maybe it doesn't replace those things, but maybe it just creates this whole new paradigm that you're not necessarily aware of yet. And, you know, I think that that's, like you said, I think that when people start to dive a little bit more into it, they kind of see some of those things like, oh, well, maybe it just doesn't do this thing right here, but it does this other thing really well. And, you know, that can lead to opening up a lot more doors, right?
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the, you know, Bitcoin arbitrage to me is like, oh, this makes sense now. You know, if it's priced incorrectly around the world, then we've got a market for ourselves forever in terms of a speculative environment. But the downside was, you know, you couldn't close a ledger fast enough to capture the premium. And so that's where, you know, I saw the opportunity, as you said, like fit it into the world that you live in.
Right.
And that's the unique part about crypto, is that the on-ramps to understanding are anyone, everyone. People are designers and they come in and realize that, you know, this place needs a better user experience, or, you know, they're swag designers and they feel like there's a captured market of, you know, the swag enthusiasm or merchandise enthusiasm. There's, you know, mathematicians that come into it through cryptography. There's markets people, there's business development payments folks. I just really love that it does have a seat for everybody to come in and really make it their own, which I think is an important factor, especially when we were building out our team. I wanted to make sure that our perspectives that we were including were extremely diverse, because we didn't know where this industry was going to evolve. So we've kind of got like your traditional startup fintechs in the scene, as well as your traditional finance. And then we've also got like gaming. And then we've got, so it's like Robinhood, SoFi, Western Union, EY Blockchain, a bunch of gaming companies. Those guys are all what make up the fabric of our team in Binance US. We also have some like original Binance employees that come and now work for us. And so it's good to kind of pull the cloths together to see where we can take this.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, this community is still developing, and you look at it in contrast to other developing or other well-established communities. And I think you're right. We're seeing people come in from all different walks of life, helping to create this really rich fabric that is what is, in my opinion, gives the cryptocurrency scene a lot of validity. Because of that, you know, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, you know, the sheer number of light bulbs that go off are going to be more if we welcome more people into it.
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're just the amount of ideas and people who are working together and bouncing ideas off each other. I mean, that diversity is really what's going to produce the greatest product, I feel. So you were in traditional finance originally. You worked with like Morgan Stanley for quite some time, and then you made this jump into crypto. Like what you know, you saw it here, you kind of, you know, where does this fit in my life? But then, you know, you started working at XRP as a head of institutional liquidity, right? Mm-hmm. And so what was it about everything that let you think, okay, this is, I want to make this jump now. I want to get in.
So it's funny that the like half step I made between traditional finance and
right
fintech or startup world was working at Silicon Valley Bank. Uh-huh. And so I came over and all of my clients changed from traditional hedge funds into startups. Mm-hmm. And so that was enough of a shock to be like, whoa, like
it's way different.
Very, very, yeah, very different, you know, rather than managing, you know, actually they're both managing almost equal amounts of money. Startups were very well funded about a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But teaching them about FX or the consequences of globalizing their own teams was fascinating. But the technology within Silicon Valley Bank that we were providing to people, it wasn't paired with where they were growing.
Right.
And I think it's amazing, because without Silicon Valley Bank, startups would struggle to get bank accounts and struggle to get the resources that they need to then grow up and become real companies. But when you were seeing that initial arc, you were having, you know, you were having to set up a correspondent bank account in every new jurisdiction that you wanted to operate in.
Right.
And that's 6 months and you've got 3 months of runway. And, you know, it was killing these companies. And I took such pity on the fact that if you wanted to grow and go global, like buckle up, it wasn't pretty. And that just seems like such a penalty for companies that could have a better use case abroad or
right.
could be employing folks from outside of, you know, California for that state. And I needed that to change, because if that wasn't changing, then we were stuck in our ways and we were going to punish companies with great ideas and bad, you know, financial backing. And you were just constantly going to kind of keep society in its same structure.
Yeah. The math wasn't working out.
And when I recognized that XRP was like a faster version of Bitcoin that I saw, I was like, I see what you're doing here, but I need it to improve. It attracted me. And I was like, okay, I see how a faster, cheaper option for moving money around the world could be significantly beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's what I set out to kind of understand and bring my awareness of how regular money moves around the world to Ripple. And it was great. I worked there for 2 years to really understand how things worked. I broke down all of the components that make up a good market and a good crypto market. So meeting mm-hmm. all the exchanges, meeting all the market makers, getting to know the real advocates for the space, getting to know the different tokens, the token economics that take place. And it was really, you know, a deep dive and discovery into how this thing works.
Yeah.
Which I just felt really prepared me for when I was asked to take on, Binance US.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good point. You know, the transition of like learning about Bitcoin, understanding some about it, and then diving into the entire crypto industry and then seeing all, I mean, there's so much to take in. And I think that, you know, basically what you're saying is that, you know, your time at XRP really allowed you to do that. And that in turn, I think probably helped you to be a little bit more prepared for, working at Binance US, right? Being the CEO there.
Yeah. And I mean, I often say it was, you know, it wasn't an easy seat either. You know, you're walking around hearing kind of the global complaints about XRP makes you either, you know, learn what you need to defend or also be open to the other opportunities or hearing like different tokens and why that makes sense. Like I learned all about proof of stake through the recognizing that I understood very well the consensus algorithm to which XRP Ledger was built on. So it helped me kind of know the full spectrum, I think, that's out there rather than just be an isolated expert on one thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is, the closed-mindedness is what prevents all forms of growth from taking place.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of tribalism in crypto. We see that on the daily. I'm not particularly like that, you know, and I try and advocate not to be, but
yeah,
there's so many people who are like, no, this is a horrible shit coin. And then other people's like, what? This is the best thing ever. It's going to take us to the moon.
Yeah, I honestly, I think the tribalism is almost cooled off a bit. Partially because a bear market breaks anybody.
Yeah, so, right. All our souls are broken.
Yeah. So there's like, we're all kind of united now of like, let's just make everything, you know, everything work in harmony.
We just get a pump. Peace. It doesn't matter what it's for.
Are we all believing here or what? But no, I haven't, and maybe it's also because I've opened my own eyes a little bit wider. So now that I'm, you know, reviewing tokens to list and really diving in rather than just making a fast assumption about like, one tweet that I saw and perhaps I didn't like that person. Like all those biases go into how we function and project. And the bigger thing that I stand for with Binance US and I think Binance as a whole stands for is this freedom of choice. It's really not ours to decide on mm-hmm. who should be mm-hmm. trading what. We just need you to have a standard to which you can access this.
Right.
And so if you've got a, world-class leading matching engine that provides you access and ability to exchange these tokens for what you really want out of it, whether it's dollars on ramp, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's BUSD, like a stable coin, that's really our purview to make sure that we have a fair, safe, and convenient platform for people to access. And
yeah, exactly. Agnostic in that way.
Yeah. Agnostic in that way and productive for the whole space. So,
yeah. So, you know, kind of leading into that, you know, for those people who don't understand, you know, Binance.us is, for lack of a better term, kind of a franchise company of Binance, right? Underneath the BAM trading services.
I will
moniker,
caveat,
right?
Because franchise is a legal term. We are an independent entity that gets to license the technology of the global ecosystem of Binance. So independent in our ways, and but able to license the brand. It's the first, you know, letters of our name, as well as the tech suite that we can lean on.
Right, right. So what is it? I mean, why did you, I mean, why was Binance chosen for that?
Well, there's a big factor when you're serving a global world, and the US was clearly an area where they were not able to totally crack into. The market is very different from a regulatory perspective, from a user perspective. You know, the market itself is just so much more fragmented than the rest of the world, where they were able to cater to and still cater to tremendously. And so it was an opportunity for someone to dedicate all of their time to, rather than dedicate a portion of time to exploring that market. And that's really why Binance US is its separate entity, is that it just involves so much more attention and focus on things. It couldn't be a pet project or a area where you jump into. We needed all hands on deck. We've got our regulatory force in Washington, D.C. on our team. We've got a full compliance team here in San Francisco. We've got our customer support here. You know, it's all hands on deck here for us to be able to serve an American user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, the regulatory compliance is, for lack of a better word, a little bit of a nightmare here in the U.S. in comparison to other places.
We'll call it different.
Yeah, it's different.
Different.
It's definitely been a hurdle for, I think, all U.S. based exchanges trying to work within a lot of gray area, right? How do you feel Binance kind of compares to other U.S. crypto exchanges?
I think there's a little bit of something unique about it in the fact that there is a far more compelling use case adoption rate and velocity outside the United States. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a US-based company without a global counterpart, you're going to constantly be distracted by a better venue or a better alternative. Or, you know, if we are going to succeed, would we succeed better outside of these borders? And that's a constant stress on a company that's trying to grow be superior in this space. And for me, I can be extremely focused, because if someone has any idea, a use case, a partnership, anything outside of the borders, I am able to pass it on to, the leading crypto exchange, which is really comforting, because I know that they'll be treated, properly. They'll get the best support and service that they need. They have plenty of liquidity. It allows me to really focus in on the United States rather than being distracted on trying to grow a global company. Which lets us just deliver a better product to our people.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really great point that I've never necessarily considered, to be honest, that, companies here in the U.S. are a bit limited. And, you look at it like, well, with all the things that we have to deal with here, would we be more profitable outside of the U.S. operating outside and then operating inside? So I think that makes a ton of sense. That's a great point.
Yeah. And I'm like, blinders on. The U.S. is mine. I'm not giving up. I'm not here to give up. I'm not here to serve anything else. I'm like, CZ's got it. We're good. I get to focus on the U.S. and you guys are all my chosen group. So it's not a distracting factor. But I also come from a background of working internationally, so I know what's out there. It's not that I'm blind to what's occurring globally. I'm very in tune with that. And thus I can make sure that we're staying competitive and innovating in a way that makes sure that we're going to be on par with the rest of the world. Right. That's one of my bigger fears, is that we just we penalize certain areas so much that they just fall further behind. And then you will see that flight of talent and capital.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should leave.
Yeah.
I think we should, we have a plenty of robust capital markets in the United States. We have plenty of robust, talent and opportunities for this to reach and equalize a lot of our wealth discrepancies that occur. So I'm here dedicated and not going anywhere. So don't.
That's great to hear. I mean, because that is definitely a concern in particular of mine. And I think a lot of other people in the space is that, you know, when it comes to the U.S. versus everywhere else, you know, I think that the talent, if they're stifled in multiple ways and multiple times and just left in this gray area where they can't do what they want to do here, they are going to leave and go somewhere else.
Right. And
you don't want.
And I'm like, it's fine if you go somewhere else. We've got a superior platform for it. You know, we're operational in so many other fiat jurisdictions as well. They've got India covered. They've got, you know, UK and Europe covered and Singapore covered. So the weaving of what Binance is doing for the world is something where I'm so excited that the US can be, you know, be a part for that.
Right. So, you know, with ongoing U.S. regulations kind of on a rolling basis coming in when it has to do with crypto, how do you kind of see Binance U.S. leading the way in helping to mold this to what we want to kind of see?
I mean, a lot of it comes from realizing in a timing perspective, we're really late to the game. So we've already seen some regulation come out, some uncertainty play out, and now kind of we're seeing or hearing at least more voices speaking up inside of the regulatory framework around how we can actually welcome innovation. So hearing Hester Pierce come out with her framework for welcoming new token projects to basically be able to have a 3-year growth horizon grace before kind of they can, yeah, grace period. That's a huge step forward.
Yeah.
And it's some people are like, oh, it might not be the majority, but we can still be recognizing that this is now a voice inside of the system that is being vocal about it. And that's a huge leap ahead from just ignoring it 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or being the first pioneer to explain what, you know, what a crypto marketplace was to a money transmitter license. Like they're very now comfortable with those terms. And for us to enter that space, we have a refined product that we're, you know, bringing forward. It's been globally vetted. We can bring it forward and work together with the regulators. And there is that comfort that this is just a purely dedicated marketplace for American users. And we have to work together. We want to work together. It's only going to work if we're on this on the same page. So I think that's at least standpoint where we're coming from.
Yeah, I mean that's what we have to kind of do. I mean, we have to be united when it comes to the community. I think and efforts we're, you know, kind of trying to push forward here in the United States. If you have a bunch of people coming from all different directions, it's really not just going to really play out as well as I think we would want it. You know, because I think a lot of people have their own interests, but you know, I think that bringing people together, you know, under the kind of overall umbrella of hey, we want this to be a viable, you know, regulated in a way that makes sense solution, not something that is heavy-handed regulated that stifles creativity or development here in the US.
Yeah. And our team just has that level of commitment from the gates out. Our regulatory, head of regulatory and legal is based in DC. Rather than waiting, you know, a couple of years to go build out a DC office, day one, he was there. And so, you know, we're not naive in how the rest of the world works and operates. And I think that's probably a, you know, a refreshing step that I am fully aware of how the most regulated entities, i.e. banks, operate.
Yeah.
And I'm able to apply what we know from that down to the level of where we are with crypto and hopefully meet in a, you know, in a place that doesn't compromise growth or innovation.
Right, right, exactly. So, you know, when you look at what Binance US offers here in the United States, do you feel that you're really more focused on the retail consumer side of things, or is it something that you're really more focused on the institutional side, or talk a little bit about kind of like your financial inclusion and how you guys approach that and what you really are trying to offer here?
Yeah, I think there's no denying that the ability for me to turn on my phone, switch over to our widget, watch our prices, click on a chart, buy Bitcoin instantly is a retail savior. And one that I think is far more rewarding in terms of the equalizing force of digital assets. So for our understanding that institutions are coming, we're aware of it, but they're always going to come at a slower pace than the individual.
Yeah.
So we might as well build for the future that is, you know, the people Everyday Americans wanting access to these digital markets will prepare in a way where you're receiving the service as if you're an institution, so that institutions will not feel alienated or confused by it, but will welcome in more forces for making it accessible. So I think we're pretty, people are not usually too confused at which side we need to be on. You need both in order for a healthy market to exist. And we're here to welcome everyone. So, you know, I call them potholes in where institutions would not be comfortable driving.
Sure.
If there are too many potholes. So yeah. we'll fill in the potholes of where institutions kind of need things to operate. And they're just still going through their list of, well, this doesn't work for me because of this pothole, or this doesn't work for me because of this pothole. And frankly, it's just a new space and they're just trying to figure it out on their own too.
Yeah.
So you're always going to come up with excuses if you want to have excuses for them. and we're here to bring on the people that have no excuses for things and are ready to dive in and educate everyone they want, be able to refer their friends and benefit from that expended energy on coaching them and going through the onboarding process. You know, where can we lower the barrier to entry is where we want to be helpful.
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, that's, I think that's one of the reasons why I personally love using Binance US. I've been a user since you guys opened. I was obviously a Binance user before that, but I love to be able to support what's going on here in the US. But one of the things I do have a gripe with is accredited investor laws. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love those?
Oh, I hate them. I hate them only because it took me so much longer, still takes me so much longer to get to the level of access for those features. I actually recently had a little bit of a tiff with a family member of mine that was like, I had no idea that you wanted to invest in things like that. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, it just didn't seem like you were, you know, confident enough to want that. And I said, want it? I could never get there. It wasn't a case of that. I've been paid 77 cents on the dollar since I started working. Like, come on. It's not a fair race for that. But I think there are levels of sophistication that are helpful to make sure that people are not, you know, going to go in and lose their shirt. But being able to provide tools at a scaled pace that can let people understand the market thoroughly is important. We also think of it in a different way, where if we were to launch more advanced products, the current scope of the market that we have right now is just too small. Liquidity would be, you know, anemic in that respect.
Yeah.
So we need to build up, you know, a routine spot market before we go in advance, to get those markets more robust.
But yeah.
How much do you hate them? Sorry, no, I should have asked.
I mean, yeah, I would say that on that scale, I'm definitely low twos or ones. I just, you know, I'm right there with you. I think that, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, yeah, there probably should be some sort of hurdles in place to not let people just willy-nilly throw their money at things. But at the same time, like, we don't have a problem with people gambling or buying lottery tickets or other things that, you know, are really aimed more at, you know, non-savvy investors, and you can toss away as much money at that. But, oh, to be able to get in on this really great startup idea, no, I'm sorry, you have to have a certain net worth or et cetera. And so I just feel that it's kind of one of those exclusionary games that I'm not a big fan of. And one of the reasons why I really love crypto and what we're doing in the industry is because we don't have to necessarily have those things, you know. And I mean, it's a learning cycle no matter what you do, no matter how much money you end up having or how savvy you think you are. I mean, the first time you're getting into any industry where you're making those types of investments, you're going to make some good calls and you're going to make some bad calls, you know.
Exactly. But the freedom of choice is something that I think is important. The access to education is super important.
Yeah.
The ease of use and explanation of what things are, you know, product definitions are super important to explain people the risks. And that being just clear and upfront with people, it isn't about intimidating them into doing something or making something seem exclusive. It's really just to make sure that people thoroughly understand what they're about to do. And I think it's our part to steward a market that is welcoming and accepting of that and clear and transparent in that element. Right.
Yeah, that's why I do education. I mean, that's what I focus on is you know, trying to help beginners come into the space, and just really in general help with overall education. So I've helped lots of people hopefully get in and understand things a bit more, find out how to do more research on things, and put, you know, spotlights on really great products that help do that as well. So yeah, I'm all about that. Yeah,
super important.
And so
go ahead.
So I was going to say, kind of segueing into the whole freedom of choice thing here. So, and kind of switch modes just a little bit. I wanted to see what you thought about recently. Binance.com had kind of this issue with users and their votes through tokens that they had on the platform, in particular in regards to this whole Steam and Tron type of buyout type of thing. I don't know if you've heard, if you have like followed any of that. I'm sure you probably saw some posts by CZ, but you know, in issues like that where users hold tokens on your platform that then have some sort of voting right elsewhere in a network or community, does Binance.us have any sort of future plans for mitigating something like that? Because I know that's definitely something that you know, CZ and Binance is looking at right now because of this. So is that something you guys have talked about with this kind of new developing stuff?
Yeah, we don't list either of those tokens mentioned, we do offer staking. So we've launched staking for Atom and Algo on our platform, and a lot of the components of it are far more pooled delegation of the rewards. But you're right, there is that component of governance that's of question to you know, really evaluate on. I think right now there's not as much of a vote component to it, but it's always on our radar of how we can make sure that we're not offering something easier for folks while making it an inconvenience at the same time for their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, cause that's just, when you look at, you know, decentralization versus centralization on these types of issues, you know, obviously people are keeping, you know, tokens on exchanges, doing trades, and with that amount, you know, being kind of centralized, it does kind of lead to a central point of failure when it comes to something like that. And, you know, overall, I think that the right decision was made in that case. So that's why I wanted to know if that was something you had thought about for future listings or future things that you consider when you're adding new coins or in particular staking coins to the Binance.us platform.
Yeah, I mean, we'll factor in. I kind of, every time there's a bruise of the system, it teaches you something about what you need to be doing going forward. So it's always a learning lesson we take from when we see giant reactions from the market. It's kind of good to know your boundaries. And I think our group has pretty solid head on our shoulders. So we know what we want to be building out for people. It's not a case of we're not even aware of where we're headed. We're the first, you know, the next 20 coins that I've got to review and list, we've already published a list, and none of those are on the list that kind of raise questions. So,
right. So what are you going to add next?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, I know. That's why I asked.
Stay tuned. Might happen this week.
All right. Well, hang on. I won't hold you to that, but I do love hearing announcements and stuff. And you know, you guys have, Binance.us has really picked up in momentum since you guys launched late last year.
September. End of September, yeah. So end of September, we launched with 7 coins, and now we're up to 30. Mm-hmm. We've got over 50 trading pairs. So we've got BUSD stable pairs. We now offer USDC conversion in, so you can convert your USDC, get BUSD, and trade all sorts of coins that way directly. And then you can trade out to USD, USDT, BTC. Mm-hmm. So
what kind of cool stuff do you guys got coming up that maybe we could talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I think keep your eye on staking. I like offering that to the market, being able to provide more venues for people to get active in the space, not just, you know, trading based on, you know, timing of the market, which is always, you know, market owes us nothing, so remember that. But the elements of staking being rewarded on a basis of your deposits that you put in. I think we're looking into better ways to make our app more functional. That's been a huge add. We brought that in January. I was really excited because I hate logging into my computer at my bed to check on prices in the market. And now I have, you know, a quick widget and the ability. Yeah, I know. It's great.
But now you can't get away from it though. You could never leave.
I never wanted to get away from it though. People probably need to learn that about me. Like, this whole work-life balance thing, like my life is my work and I'm happy. So let me be. But it's funny, people like work from home. I was like, my home is here in the office. No.
Don't you see the cot back there?
We've joked about that many a times. Be as productive as you need to be in order to be your best self. And that's my rule. So I, especially in this time where we're building a new frontier of how we see finance operating, that means we're also possibly changing the social cloth of how work is delegated, how, how, where you need to be based, where you need to be focused, what's your background, how you need to be interacting. And I think one of the things that finance stands for is that we're fundamentally shifting some of these pillars that have always been in order to adapt to a better world that we can build. So we're not afraid of welcoming difference in that. And I'm excited to see how our decentralized model of people's work approach and being flexible on that where people can do their best work is beneficial in times like this.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, before we get going here, because I don't want to keep you too long, but
I'm just gonna eat a burrito over here in a minute.
So. Just like I've been eyeing that burrito. when you talk about kind of moving certain pillars, right? That in an industry like this, how do you feel it is? Being a woman in this space, and like, what advice would you give to get more? To women that want to get into more tech fields or into crypto in particular.
Yeah,
since we just we kind of just celebrated International Women's Day right here over the weekend.
Yeah, curiosity killed the stigma. So, just pursue it. If walls are put up and where you want to be going, walk around them. Build a catapult and jump over it. There's nothing that should be getting in your way, and if it is, then move on to the next thing that lets you fly. Wall Street's tough. I had very few role models making a push to the top. I worked for some wonderful women in the space, and they worked for some great men. So there's always, you can always see things that are going to be preventative and where you want to be succeeding and make it your own somewhere else. I was, people were shocked that I left Wall Street to go to San Francisco, and shocked that I wasn't going to try and stay within that microcosm. And I said, I just don't think I can be my best self or where I want to go and what I want to do in your society. I was there for 5 years, so don't say it wasn't like working, but it was, there's such a better place out there. I worship the ground that Sally Krawcheck pushes for. She runs Elevest, which is basically democratizing wealth management for women, making sure that they can access it, understand it, and it's built for them, because truth be told, we live a little bit longer than men, and none of us can rely on other people's paychecks, especially if they're dying earlier. It's like pretty facts. So her whole push is always on, the best way to equalize yourself is be as rich as they are. And the best way to do that is to work hard and make your money work for you too. So I think crypto just was the illuminating map that said, we're all going to be understanding this. It came apart within my own lifetime, so no one can say, you weren't born into it. We're watching it develop in front of ourselves. We actually have a way of moving where it's headed. And if having a woman run an exchange is making people say, oh my God, maybe I could do that, then bring it on.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's not, please don't call me a unicorn or one of a kind. Like, I'm just a regular person that happens to work hard and study up. And, if I don't understand something, I make sure I learn it the next day and I practice things. And it's really, I'm not here to be an anomaly. And I want people to know that I've hired, half of my team is, or 40% of my team is women. So people that are like, yeah, but it's still male biased. I'm like, I'm working on it. Like, yeah. Like, chill. We've got, our head of finance, our, head of operations and product. We've got compliance members. Like, we're working on it. We're trying to make sure that the cloth is more, takes in more perspective, because the value I've gotten from hearing their stories and what influences them and their networks is so different and fascinating. And I want to make sure that we're building a product that can cater to all. So
yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game.
Other than the fact that, you know, the color scheme, black and yellow, it's like, it's pretty neutral.
That's right. Yeah, right.
I look great in black, and yellow chairs are pretty fun. Yeah.
So, you know, actually, are you a fan of NFTs? I created an NFT recently to kind of like, yeah, to kind of celebrate women in crypto and tech.
No way.
It was like my take on like the classic Rosie the Riveter, you can do it, but it says Bitcoin can do it. I want to send you one of those.
Cool. Yeah. Throw it in my trust wallet.
Yeah, there you go. nice plug. I love that one.
No, I love it. Trust wallet works really great. So.
Yeah,
it does. And I want to inform people that NFTs aren't scary things and you can send them to people.
They are great. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff with NFTs too. So
cool.
It's definitely one of my areas of focus. And so we were kind of talking about Women's Day. I just wanted to mention that.
Nice.
So yeah, I'd love to send you one. So
yeah, the one of my favorite t-shirts is still my Crypto Kitties t-shirt. And it's just because so much of it provided a really tangible way for people to conceptualize digital things.
Yeah.
And for all the silly things, for all the things people say are clunky or aren't working, they're providing those mental adjustments for people to get it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just super important along the way, and to have a reference point for things, for NFTs. My cousins are big gamers. Yeah. I said I wasn't going to bring up my cousins, but they're pretty cool. They're like my gaming analysts. So I'm like, Fortnite, are we in? Are we out? And they're like, we've moved on. Or you know, they're like, nope, I'm back. They're new skins. Yeah, yeah. There's new skins. I'm in. And so I was like always quizzing them, like, if you had your own sword, would you trade it among friends? They're like, depends what sword it was.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's an important thing for NFT designers to make sure they're actually worthwhile.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. I have some Crypto Kitties. They all have mustaches. So
oh, that's awesome. Them. Yeah.
How to do it.
Yeah. I think mine would have like a little Darth Vader helmet if I could.
Sweet. I'm also a Star Wars fan, so maybe I could get one with the Darth Vader helmet with the mustache on the
with
outside.
The mustache. Yes. Yep. Yes. That's that's pretty awesome. Baby Yoda mustache. you got a thing going on. I wish I could grow mine out.
No, I don't think you'd look fetching with a mustache. I'm sorry.
I look
unless it was
great.
Pink, unless you could get a legit pink one.
No, I look great with a mustache. I just tend to wax it before I go to public events. Again, I'm a human.
Well, I appreciate you not trying to outshine my stash game today on the podcast. And once again, thank you for being here and answering all my questions. And, do you have any last remarks or things you want to say before we go?
I just want people to test things out. Experience our app and experience and come back and let me know what your feedback is, because we're not going to be able to build what you want unless we hear it from you.
Right.
So don't be afraid, test it out, and then talk to us. We've got a very great dialogue with our users, so we welcome you to the conversation.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Catherine, for joining me here. I think that's all we have for today, folks. Until next time, stash that crypto, friends.